Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. We're returning there to Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll begin reading as we've been in verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. While the ushers are handing the handout to you, I will go ahead and just read the verses, right? Proverbs 6:16. Notice the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." I want to stop there and let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. And Lord, I pray as I give forth the message that I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, we all recognize, and especially this preacher, that without you, we can do nothing. Amen. We need your touch, your hand upon this service. May we sense your presence. May we hear your voice. Father, you said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." And so I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear this evening. Again, fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit as I yield myself to thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there was an unsaved religious man that got tremendously burdened about eternity, that many, many religious people do. I knew a woman that went to Mass every single day of her life. She went to the Mass because she was so burdened about her sin. And this man was the same way. He had the idea, I have to live away in order to get to heaven. I have to get rid of my sin. I have to stop sinning. But he knew that the one blatant besetting sin in his life that he could not control was anger. He was an angry man. When he'd go to work, something would happen and he'd get angry. When he'd go to the store, something would happen with the clerk that he didn't like, and he got angry. When people did things he didn't like, a neighbor, a coworker, he got angry. So he thought, this almost sounds like a joke when I say this, but it's not. He thought the only solution was to become a monk. He really did. And he thought, maybe then I can get victory over my anger. And so he became a monk. But in the monastery, things did not change. Other monks did things that bothered him. And he found himself getting angry again. All kinds of things provoking him to anger in the monastery. So he resolved, saying, "I'm going to leave this monastery and I'm going to live in the desert all by myself, hoping that the solitude would enable me to get rid of this besetting sin." And this way, he thought, I'd be worthy of heaven. That's wrong, by the way. Right. Okay. So what he did, he went out there and he made himself a makeshift home. He gathered his own food and water on a daily basis. And he lived in total solitary confinement. One day, however, after retrieving drinking water from a stream and making the trek back to his camp, he spilled one of the pitchers on the ground. He got so upset that he lifted up that pitcher and he smashed it on the ground in anger. And then he stopped and paused and thought. And he came to this conclusion. He said, "I now see that I cannot be at peace even in solitude." He said, "The problem is not in others. The problem's not in my circumstances." He said, "The problem is my own heart."
Amen.
My own heart. Now, on Wednesday evenings, we've been dealing with the subject of wisdom from above. And the idea of this series, and it's been helping me, I hope it's been helping you, Amen. Is that as believers, we are to live our lives, we are to view this world, we are to understand what we see, we are to determine what is right and wrong in life, not by what the world says, not by their so-called wisdom, but instead by what God says,
Amen.
And by His wisdom. Because the Bible is quite clear that the so-called wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It is described in the Bible as earthly, as sensual, as devilish. It is the product of the ideas of imperfect men. It is the product of the thoughts and experiences of fallible men. And what does it produce? It produces confusion and it produces strife, according to James chapter 3. You know, it's amazing to me how much stock we put in unregenerate man.
Right.
I mean, all someone has to do is say something with confidence and say it repeatedly, and most people will buy into it. That's a dangerous thing to do. Now, I am thankful for the things that unsaved people have done, things that they've invented, and the scientific advances in medicine and so forth. But if anyone, for that matter, says anything that contradicts the Word of God, no matter how many degrees they have, no matter how much experience they have, no matter how many studies they've done, God's Word is right, and they're wrong.
Amen.
They're wrong.
Right.
And I'm going to embrace God's wisdom over man's wisdom. You see, God's wisdom is pure. It's said to be unshakable. It's always right. It always works, by the way, young person. It always is what's best for us. And without fail, it will produce, guaranteed, God's Word says it, it will produce the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised.
Praise the Lord.
And give us that peaceable fruit of righteousness as well. And by the way, God's wisdom comes from God's Word. And so what are we to do? We are to, as we hear the wisdom, so-called wisdom of this world, we are to reject it, and we are to receive and apply the wisdom from God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10:5 puts it this way, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We naturally want to embrace the wisdom of men. It's the natural thing to do. But when we identify it as contradicting God's Word, we are to cast it down. That's what we are to do. And every high thing that exalts itself against God's Word, and bring all of our thoughts into the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Now, for the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at some wisdom here. Kind of parked here in Proverbs chapter 6 for a little bit. Don't worry, I'll be putting it in drive in a little bit. But let's just inch on for a little while here. And we have been working our way through these seven things that God says that He hates. By the way, there's more than seven things that God hates. But these are seven that He lists for us here in Proverbs chapter 6. And we know that if God hates them, the wisdom of God says that we should hate them as well.
Amen.
Psalm 119 and verse 128 says this, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's the way and the attitude believers ought to have as well.
Amen.
Now, so far we've looked at the first three of these things that God hates. We've looked at a proud look. We've looked at a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. This week I'd like to look at this fourth thing that God hates that's found in verse 17. Verse 18, and that is this, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So tonight the message is this. Yes, the wisdom of hating what God hates, but notice the subtitle, if you will, Hating Wicked Imaginations.
Amen.
You know, here God is doing something very interesting. He is going beneath our actions, and He's going to the root of the problem, and that is the heart. The heart. You see, God knows and He understands, and we should as well, that the real issue in living the Christian life is the heart.
Amen.
It's our heart. You see, before any of us commit a single sinful action, before any of us say a single hurtful word, something has already taken place in our hearts.
Right. Amen.
Something's happened already. You see, whenever you see a man that has committed the sin of adultery or is engaging in pornography Or perhaps a woman, a married woman that has begun an online relationship with a man. Or perhaps a child that is rebelling against his parents, or that gets involved with drugs or alcohol, or starts listening to ungodly music or watching ungodly things on their device. Long before that action was ever committed, something was brewing in their heart.
Amen.
That's where it began. In the heart. And we must understand this evening, if we're going to hate the things that God hates, if we are going to embrace the wisdom of God, that God not only hates the sinful action that takes place, loves the sinner but hates the sin, He also hates what has taken place in the heart long before that action was ever manifested.
Amen.
He hates that as well. And in our text, He says, "And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations." I wonder tonight if there are people under the sound of my voice that may not have done anything wrong yet, but you're doing a whole lot of thinking about it right now in your heart. The heart's there.
Amen.
Something's brewing there. Oh, preacher, I haven't done anything wrong yet. That's not what I'm asking tonight.
Right.
What is going on in our hearts? You see, our minds could be feasting on things they should not be feasting on.
Amen.
And when they are, even though there has not been a sinful action yet, God hates it.
Amen.
He hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So tonight, let's go ahead and consider several things as we think about what is going on in our hearts. Notice, first of all, number one, the importance of the heart. Do you know, while our actions are certainly vitally important to God, we preach about that, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, and so forth. Actions are very important to God, but what is more important is our heart.
Amen.
The heart of the matter is the heart. Because it is our hearts that controls our actions. It's our hearts that dictate our deeds. It all begins in the heart. And that's why we'll visit this verse at the end, God willing. That's why God says in Proverbs 4:23, He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."
Amen.
Notice, the issues of life are where? Coming out of our hearts.
Amen.
So I want to challenge us tonight, every one of us, don't think of your neighbor, don't think of someone else, don't nudge someone and say, "Well, that was good for so-and-so." I want to ask you tonight, what is going on in your heart?
Amen.
What's your heart like this evening?
Good.
You say, "I'm here at church tonight." I see that. Perhaps somebody's watching online tonight. Praise the Lord. You say, "Well, I'm doing all the right things." Maybe so. What's going on in your heart?
Amen.
What's your heart like? You see, there's some foundational biblical truths, God's wisdom, we have to understand about the heart here. First of all, letter A, write this down. God's description of the heart. God's description. I had come across an article entitled this, and it posed this question to people. It asked, and this was the world, this was not a Christian source. It said, the question was, are people good at heart? Do you know 72% of people said yes? Everybody has good in their heart. One said this, quote, "People are generally good at heart. They may have some bad moments, but we are all good at heart." That's interesting, isn't it? By the way, that's the world's wisdom right there. It's foolishness with God. Or they may say this, "Well, he, my son, or whoever, daughter, whatever the case may be, may do some bad things. We've all heard this, but they have a good heart." That's a foolish statement. And by the way, that's not what God says.
Amen.
You know, the heart of man is mentioned, listen to this, in 767 verses in the Bible. God talks a lot about the heart. You see, when we speak of the heart, we're talking about the heart, not the organ in our chest. We're talking about the center of our being. We're talking about our innermost self. We're talking about that place inside of you and me where our innermost thoughts are found, where our innermost motives are found. It is that part of us that's only known to you and to God. That's it.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. And throughout the Bible, God tells us that there are many conditions that a person's heart can be in. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Let me read some of them to you. For example, on the positive side, God says we can have a clean heart.
Amen.
Psalm 73 and verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. God says we can have a pure heart. Psalm 24 and verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. When we speak of a clean heart or a pure heart, in other words, that's a heart that is dwelling on pure things, on pure thoughts. We can have a tender heart. 2 Kings 22 and verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. God describes this king as having a tender heart, and we can as well.
Amen.
A tender heart is a heart that is receptive to God and His Word.
Amen.
A heart that easily receives correction. In other words, we don't just hear God's Word with our ears. We actually have a tender heart, so we receive it into our hearts. We can have a tender heart.
Right.
We can have an obedient heart. Psalm 119 and verse 112, I have inclined mine ear to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. An obedient heart is a heart that truly desires to please the Lord, to please God, and to do right. Those are several types of good hearts that we can have.
Right.
But there's a flip side to that as well. There's a negative side. God says that we can have an evil heart. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Notice he's speaking to brethren there, believers. And he says, we can have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart is a heart that dwells on evil things. So we can be dwelling on good things or dwelling on evil things. Again, all the actions could be right, but what's going on in your heart tonight is what I want to ask. We can have a hard heart or an impenitent heart. Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up thyself unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What is a hard heart, an impenitent heart? That is a heart that has no desire to do right. That has no desire to live for God. That doesn't receive, as a matter of fact, the Word of God. As a matter of fact, when the Word of God comes out, it like falls on that stony ground, if you will. That is a hard and impenitent heart. You can have a heart like that. We can have a foolish heart. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Amen.
A foolish heart is a heart that embraces the philosophies of this world and rejects the wisdom of God. By the way, you could be sitting here every Wednesday night listening to all these services and nodding your head, say, yes, there's the wisdom of man, and yes, there's the wisdom of God. But what do we do when we leave? We'll be dependent upon the condition of our heart.
Amen.
What our heart is like. We could have a perverse heart. Proverbs 12:8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. A perverse heart is a heart that is bent on doing wrong.
Right.
They're bent on it. We could have a double heart. Psalm 12 and verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart. Do they speak? I think we all know what a double heart is. It's someone who straddles the fence in the Christian life. One day they say one thing, the next day they say another. They're in the middle and so forth. Depending on the crowd and the circumstances, that determines how they behave. Why? Because they have a double heart. All those, again, are just some of the many, I told you how many verses, conditions of the heart. And again, this is not speaking of our actions. We're not talking tonight about what you're doing. It's talking about what is going on in your heart tonight. What's it look like if we could look in there? You say you can't. Well, thank God we can, amen. And I'm glad you can't look in mine either. But we should have a right heart. By the way, by nature, all of our hearts are desperately wicked.
Amen.
All of us. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, preacher, I don't like that. Well, that's because you're embracing the wisdom of this world. There is not good in all of us. Our nature is bad. Our nature is evil. Our old nature is wickedness. And it's only through salvation that we can receive a new heart and have the potential to live for God. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. It is when we are yielded to this new heart that our hearts will be pleasing to God. But the question is this, which condition would you say describes your heart? Be honest, don't you have to say it out loud. Where is your heart? So we need to understand God's description of the heart. Amen. There's a second truth I want us to understand as well. Foundational biblical truth. God's wisdom. And that is this. God sees the heart.
Amen.
He sees the heart.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know whatever condition you're in? And I don't know what it is. You don't know mine either. Whatever it's in, God knows.
Amen.
God knows. He knows if we have that evil heart. He knows if we have that foolish heart. He knows if we have a clean heart or a pure heart. He knows our motives. He knows what's going on. Doesn't matter what kind of smile we put on our face coming into church. Hey, how you doing? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's going on in your heart?
Amen.
And what it is, God knows. Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. Verses of comfort and verses of conviction all at the same time. Oh, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. I like that. God knows. He knows when I'm going through something. He knows my troubles. He knows my trials. But then I think the other side of that, yeah, God knows me.
Amen.
He knows everything about me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Again, we could even be saying all the right things and doing all the right things, but God knows the condition of our heart.
Amen.
He knows it. I had to wake a couple people up, so I had to do that. 1 Kings 8:39, watch this. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men.
Amen.
God knows it. 1 Samuel 16:7, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Boy, when they were parading David's son, or Jesse's sons in front of Samuel, everybody thought they knew everything about everybody. They thought, we know who he's going to pick. We got it. It's this guy. It's Eliab. That's who it is. Nope, it's not him. It's not this one, not this one, not this one. Who is it? It's David. David, yes, David. God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. That's what he's looking for. And out of all those boys, who was it that had the heart after God? Couldn't see it necessarily on the outside, but God saw it. Samuel knew it. God told him, that's the one with the heart I want to use for my glory. Psalm 7 and verse 9, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reigns. So again, wisdom, the foundational truths of God's wisdom is that God sees the heart. Then there's a third foundational truth, and that is this. Again, we're trying to understand God's wisdom, and that is this. Evil begins in the heart. That's where it begins.
Right.
Again, our text says this. This is one of the things God hates. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You know, there's a philosophy in this world that says this. It says, well, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, I should be able to do whatever I want. What's it to you if I do this? Or what's it to you if I do that? I'm not hurting anyone. That's what they think. By the way, wrong, right and wrong is not determined by whether or not we hurt somebody.
Right.
It's determined by God. And God says we can have wrong things going on in our heart. You see, evil may be manifested to man. I may see it in their actions. That's when I see it. That's when you see it. That's when we notice it. But evil is manifested to God in the heart.
Amen.
He sees it there.
Right.
And he hates it. He hates it. Do you? Do I?
Good.
Proverbs 11:20, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. I'll say it again. God hates it when He sees evil
Amen.
In our hearts. He hates it. You know, because an impenitent, evil heart, He knows that it's eventually it's going to be seen in action. That's the seed. That's the beginning of it. It's stirring. It's stirring up there. It's moving, if you will. And it's going to come out sooner or later if something's not done about it. But it all begins back there. God's not, He hates it out here, but He hates it way back here as well. He knows what's going to happen. It's kind of stumped the Pharisees when the Lord Jesus Christ said this to them in Mark chapter 7 in verse 20. He says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, that's where they begin, and defile the man. You see, evil behavior is not a product of our environment. It's not a product of the way we were raised. It's not a product of our nationality or our circumstances in life. We can't blame it on the neighborhood that we lived in or the way we were treated when we were growing up. After all, I was bullied, so I have a right to behave this way. That's the problem. No, 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 no. While those things may have an influence on our behavior, the root of that behavior is the heart.
Amen.
Not out there. Well, they did this, and they did this, and my parents, and those people, and our neighbors, and that boss, and this, and that preacher, and everything else. No, 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 the problem's right here.
Right, amen.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, by the way.
Amen.
You see, evil behavior comes from an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And again, God hates it. That's why tonight I'm trying to sound the trumpet here and say that the condition of our heart is so important.
Amen.
So important. Again, you're here in church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. Amen. But how's the heart tonight?
Amen.
So we see, number one, the importance of the heart. We see God's description of the heart. We see God sees the heart, and evil begins in the heart. But then secondly, let's consider the influences of the heart. So what do we do here? Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want you to think about this for a moment. Our choices in life, and I'll explain this here in a moment, influence our heart. Well, I have no control over my heart. Yes, you do.
Right.
Yes, I do.
Praise the Lord.
We absolutely do. How so? Well, two ways. Letter A on the back here. Notice, the things we allow in our heart
Amen.
Influence our heart.
Right.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
What you and I allow in our heart influences our heart. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:51, listen to it closely or note it closely, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Did you get that?
Amen.
What I see is affecting my heart. All of us probably know this tonight. There are two gates to the heart. There are two gates to the soul. Two doorways, if you will, that go into your heart. Two inputs, if you will, that influence our thinking and our heart. And that is our eyes and our ears. And what you and I allow into those gates, in our eye gates, in our ear gates, what we choose to put into those gates, goes directly into our hearts and affects the condition of our hearts. Not me, preacher. Yes, you. That's the wisdom of this world, not me. The wisdom of God says yes.
Amen.
You see, there are things that we choose to listen to. There are things we choose to look at. And then there are things we cannot choose. I can't help it if I go into a store and I'm trying to pick up a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk and there's some music playing in there and I hear that. I did not choose that and I can't help that. If I'm driving down the road and there's a big billboard that just pops up with some picture on it, I did not choose that picture. But I can choose how long I look at it. And I can choose how long I listen to those things. You see, God's wisdom says this about the heart. If you or if I allow into our eye gate sensual images, provocative images, violent images, it will affect what goes on in your heart.
Amen.
It will. If you watch things that promote promiscuous behavior or rebellious behavior, it will affect what goes on in your heart. If you listen to things or, God forbid, engage in conversations about loose living, sexual topics, and wrongdoing, don't think that's not going to affect your heart. It will, and it does.
Right.
It absolutely does. You see, the problem we have is that we think, I can choose whatever I want preacher to listen to or watch, and it won't affect me. I've been saved a long time, and I can handle this stuff. No, you can't.
Amen.
And no, I can't either.
Right.
You see, that's the world's wisdom. God's wisdom says, mine eye affecteth mine heart.
Amen.
It's going to change your heart. Can I ask you this? What are you allowing into your heart? What are you allowing into your eye gate? What are you reading? What are you putting in there? What are you listening to? What's going on? Because that's going to affect your heart.
Amen.
There's a second thing also. Not only do the things we allow into our hearts influence our hearts, but then secondly, the actions that we engage in will influence our heart. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Did you get that?
Amen.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That goes good both ways, good and bad. The actions you engage in. Go over, if you would, I was reading this in my devotions. Go over to Hosea chapter 4. I want to show you something here. It just stuck out at me, and it just fit right into this message. I thought, thank you, Lord. I think you gave me that for this message tonight.
Amen.
Hosea chapter 4 and verse 11. Notice we read, are you there? Whoredom and wine and new wine, look what they do. Take away the heart. They do.
Amen.
Our actions, what we do, can hurt our heart as far as what God wants it to be. You see, if you or if we start hanging out with the wrong people,
right.
If we walk on the edge of sinful behavior, if we choose to engage in that or walk on the edge, it's going to affect our hearts.
Right. Amen.
It absolutely will. You see, when you get away from that and you start engaging in wrong behavior and wrong things, understand what that does to your heart. Your heart becomes cold to the things of God. Our hearts become apathetic to serving God. And the interests of the things of God get diminished because we've created an appetite in something else. And the things of God, take it or leave it. Reading our Bible and praying,
amen,
becomes mechanical. We don't have interest in church or Sunday school or witnessing anymore. Why? It's a heart problem.
Amen.
We don't have an interest. Oh, another meeting, another revival meeting, another special speaker. Becomes a burden instead of a joy. We're not interested in going to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We're not interested in attending men's prayer breakfast. And again, it's not because it's not interesting.
Right.
We like to blame it on that. Yeah, it's just boring, you know. I'm not getting fed. Preacher doesn't feed me. No, that's not the problem.
Right.
The problem is your heart.
Amen.
Your heart. See, if we're sitting in service looking at our watch waiting to get out of here because we just don't feel like it, because it's just not interesting to us, and we're just doing our duty, you understand, something's wrong with the heart.
Amen.
Now, you can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. But the truth of the matter is, it's a heart matter.
Amen.
And the things that you and I choose are what determines the condition of our hearts.
Amen.
And when our hearts are devising, and I'm speaking in general sense here from Proverbs chapter 6, devising wicked imaginations, our hearts are not where it ought to be. We're thinking about other things. We're not where it should be. God says, I hate that.
Amen.
I hate that. What are you letting influence your heart?
Amen.
What are you putting into your... What are you feeding on? Listen, we all choose it. We all have 24 hours a day. Every human being, that's the one thing we're all on, one of the things we're all on the same level playing field.
Amen.
We may have different talents and abilities and different callings in our lives. But every one of us has 24 hours to do whatever God has given us to do. What do we use that time to do? What are we putting in? Why just don't have time to do that stuff? Then there's a problem with the heart. Because a heart that is right will make time.
Amen.
For the right things. Because they know that what we do and what we put into our gates influences our hearts.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the importance of the heart. Number two, the influence of the heart. And then lastly, number three, let's consider the instruction for the heart. You say, so what do we do? How do I get my heart where it ought to be? I hope if your heart isn't where it ought to be and you're sensing tonight it's not, that should bother you.
Right.
We should be concerned if we're not concerned.
Amen.
We really should be. And again, we're told, what do we do? How do we do? How do I take care of this thing? Well, back to Proverbs 4:23. Notice, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's the most important thing. Because of the heart and how it's the number one thing that you are to attend to, you have to guard your heart.
Amen.
That word keep has the idea of guarding. It means to protect. It means to keep a close watch over. It is actually the same Hebrew word, natsar, that is used in 2 Kings 17:9, which is translated watchman. It's saying, hey, I want you to be a watchman over your heart.
Amen.
Like someone that's looking out and watching for the enemy that has the role of guarding the city. Treat your heart the same way. Guard it with all diligence. That's the number one thing you should be concerned about.
Amen.
You know, one of the most guarded places in the entire world is Fort Knox, Kentucky. Fort Knox houses much of America's monetary assets. It is said, it's believed, there are 5,000 tons of gold there. Fort Knox is one of the most heavily guarded places in the world. It has the fort itself has 16,000 cubic feet of granite. It was built with 750 tons of reinforced steel. The underground basement is secured by a 250-ton door. The vaults are built with steel plates encased in concrete, and each door weighs about 20 tons. The entire location is surrounded by a military camp, and it's said that the site includes electric fences and landmines, and even laser-triggered machine guns. Why is that? Because they're guarding something that's important. Why all the effort? Why all the money? Why all the energy? Why all the attention? Because it's important. And God's instruction for you and me to prevent our heart from doing what is said here, devising wicked imaginations, allowing our heart to depart from the things of God, keeping our heart from being cold. By the way, it's not hard to get a cold heart. It happens so quickly. And we have to guard that. We have to watch everything that goes into our ears. We have to watch and guard everything that our eyes look at and how long they look at them. And we have to realize that we can create a spiritual appetite if our minds will simply stop feeding on the garbage and stop feasting on the things of this world and remove the bad and put in the good. You're going to find something's going to happen in your heart. And over time, you're going to realize, I think I'm experiencing some revival here.
Praise the Lord.
Because, man, I'm excited about the things of God. I can't wait to get into my Bible. I can't wait to spend some time with God. I can't wait to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait for the next sermon from the pulpit of Capital Baptist Church or another one online. I just need the Word of God. You're going to find yourself in a place that perhaps you haven't been there in a long time.
Good.
And if that's true, the reason for it is this, the heart.
Amen.
The heart. Think on things that are true and honest and just and pure.
Amen.
And lovely and of good report. Watch what goes in.
Amen.
Because as the computer guys used to say, I know if they say this anymore, Aaron will tell me, garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. Keep your heart with all diligence.
Amen.
For out of it are the issues of life. You tonight may be going through all the motions. You're here. But God knows in your heart if you want to be here. God knows in your heart if you're excited about Him.
Amen.
God knows in what's going on in your heart. He knows. The question is, will we admit where we are, wherever that is, and if it's not where it ought to be, that we will do what's necessary to make it be what it ought to be, keeping it with all diligence.
Amen.
Why? Because God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Amen.
Let's pray together.